This is the Voice of Prophecy. Later on in this program, you'll hear a very important announcement.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again.
This is the Voice of Prophecy. A voice crying in the wilderness of these modern days. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
From our Voice of Prophecy studios in Los Angeles, California, we welcome you to this half hour of inspiration and music with the King's Heralds, Del Delker, Brad Braley, and H.M.S. Richards, a Seventh-day Adventist minister, the Voice of Prophecy speaker.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Jesus is a living Savior, that He arose from the dead, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. We pray Thee that this blessed hope of ours, in a risen Christ and in our own eternal life, may be bright today. Bless this broadcast to all who listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who bow before Thee, near to the heart of God.
come to the garden of home, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Our contralto soloist, Miss Del Delker, brings us now the positive assurance of the song. He did not die in vain.
My blessed Lord was crucified. The day was dark and grief was wide. For hope was crushed and all seemed vain. Until the Savior
Here now is H.M.S. Richards, the voice of prophecy speaker. His subject, Why I Know Jesus is Alive.
The trees were sobbing in a winter tempest. The cold, wind-driven rain obscured vision, soaked everything. That is, everything in the open. Here in this limestone cave, it was dry. Dry and quiet, as it had been since the workmen finished cutting it from the living rock 1,920 years before. Caves, like mountains, had always been interesting to me. I had visited many of them. But this cave, above all others, had drawn me since childhood. And here I was at last, sitting within its rocky door, looking out into the storm. A dream come true, the realization of a pilgrimage of the heart. The cave was a tomb outside the northern gate of Old Jerusalem, believed by many to be the very sepulcher where Jesus had lain. It had been prepared by the secret disciple, Joseph of Arimathea, prepared for himself and presented as a gift of love to him who had no home and no grave. The little garden about the door, now the prey of winter rain and wind, was the garden of the resurrection. Here one spring morning, before sunrise, the light of heaven flooded the world. The earth trembled. The guards fell away helpless. As angel hands rolled back the great stone that closed the door of the tomb, so that the disciples, coming there early in the morning to perform the final services of burial, could see that the place was empty. And then the holy voice spoke, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Words found in Matthew 28. Those were the angel's words. Come, see, go, tell. And that was the message that stirred the world. Shattered pagan civilization and built the Christian church. He is not here.
He is not here, for he is risen. See where the Savior lay. The seal is broken, the tomb is empty, and the stone is rolled away. He is not here, our Lord is living. This did the angel say. Why do we tarry? The morn is breaking, and our night is turned to day.
There in the tomb, I thought about these words and repeated them. He's not here. How cold the stone was, how silent, how changeless. The greatest Christian preacher put it all in these simple words. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3. And isn't it strange that his enemies on that morning long ago, which seems only yesterday when you visit the tomb, were afraid he had risen and paid the guards to keep still about it, while his friends thought that the wonderful news was just a story imagined by an excited woman and went on mourning his death. Read about it there in the 16th chapter of Mark. He took a world of proof to convince them. It was just too good to be true, but it was true. They believed it when they recognized him there in the upper room. No wonder they were glad. And I'm glad too, aren't you? Meditating there where the Lord lay, the evidence for our Lord's resurrection seemed like the five fingers on the hand of faith. First, the evidence of the empty tomb. Second, the evidence of his post-resurrection appearances. Three, the testimony of the guards. Four, the change in the apostles. Five, the faith of the early church. All four Gospels record Christ's burial in the tomb of the good Joseph of Arimathea. All four record that on the first day of the week, which followed the Sabbath, when certain women came to see the sepulchre, bringing spices that they might come and anoint him, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene ran back and reported, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." All agree, both friends and enemies, the tomb was empty. Between the time of his resurrection and his ascension 10 days later, our Lord appeared at least 10 times to his disciples. First, to certain women returning from the sepulchre, Matthew 28:1. Second, to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, John 10:11. Third, to the Apostle Peter before the evening of the day of the resurrection, Luke 24:34. Four, to Cleopas and another disciple on the way to Emmaus on the afternoon of the resurrection day, Luke 24:13. Five, to the 10 apostles, Thomas being absent, John 20:19. A week later, to all the 11 apostles, John 20:26. To several of his disciples at the Sea of Galilee, John 21. To the apostles and 500 brethren on a mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28:16. To James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And last, to the apostles before his ascension from the Mount of Olives, Acts 1. We have the testimony of the guards that Christ had risen. You'll find that in Matthew 28:11. They did not know how the body of our Lord ever got out of the tomb, but they convinced the chief priests and the elders that the tomb was suddenly empty. And this conviction was so strong that these authorities paid the guards money, and plenty of it, large money, to keep still about the truth of the empty tomb, to tell the strange story that the disciples came and stole the Lord's body while they slept on duty. Any argument based on the testimony of sleeping witnesses is stopped before it begins, especially when the witnesses are paid large money for their testimony. But money talks. It did in this case. The change in the apostles was a mighty testimony also to the resurrection of Jesus. One day they were fearful, sorrowing, unbelieving. 40 days later, fearless and rejoicing in their unbreakable faith that Jesus was alive, they went forth spreading the good news everywhere, even at the risk of life itself. They knew that something had changed the world for them, and it has changed the lives of everybody else who has believed their testimony from that day to this. The Christian church itself is proof of the resurrection of Jesus. For had there been no resurrection, there would have been no church. The church has a continuous record from that glorious day to this, and it still says that the resurrection is a fact. Christ is alive today, and remember this, we have unimpeachable, historical, documentary evidence that Jesus Christ predicted that he would rise from the dead. For instance, early in his ministry, he said to the people of Jerusalem, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He spake of the temple of his body, John 2:19. Jesus himself had unwavering faith that this stupendous miracle would take place, as indeed authentic records prove that he did, Matthew 12:40 and a dozen other texts. It's a fact also that the gospel narrators devote more space to Christ's resurrection than to any other part of his entire life, except his trial and crucifixion. To see this, read the four Gospels again. It'll really do your heart good. And all the early apostolic preaching recorded in the book of Acts and in the epistles of the New Testament is filled with a declaration, repeated like hammer blows, "He arose, he arose, he arose." Time after time before they crucified our Lord, Jesus said, "I will rise from the dead." Then after his resurrection, the disciples actually saw him alive. And he said to them, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me and see." That's Luke 24:39. He was a real person actually there. And he convinced those disciples that he was there, a real being. "I am he that liveth and was dead," we read in Revelation 1:18, the words of Christ. "And behold, I am alive forevermore." There in the tomb I sat that lonely, stormy day and thought about these things. Then I lay down in the stone sepulcher where the body of the Lord had been. How cold was the stone. How hard, how lifeless. And then I thought he was here. His body had been wounded. That very body. Here on the cold stone. But he's not in this tomb now. Not in any tomb. He's alive. Alive right now as I'm here. He's alive. I shall never forget the thrill that came to me there. Jesus is alive. Alive today. Why should any Christian ever fear death? Jesus is alive. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. John 14:19. And so I know that Jesus is alive today because he said that he would rise again. And because he was seen by hundreds of witnesses bodily alive after his public execution. The Christian church grew on the reality of the resurrection of Christ. And the Holy Scriptures declare it to be a fact. But best of all, and most wonderful of all to me, I know that Jesus rose from the dead because he has changed my life. And by his Spirit dwells in my heart every day. I believe he is alive because I know him now. Just as the apostle put it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3:10. And that's the testimony of Christians everywhere around this world. I've been around the world again and again in different countries. And people of every race have the same experience. Their hearts are changed. Their lives are changed. Where there was hatred, there's love. And where there was worry and trouble and fear, there's confidence. Christ has changed their lives. He's alive today. He ever liveth. Not only to make intercession for us, but to change us and to live anew in us. That's the testimony of Christian experience. The flowers in Joseph's garden were a bloom, but Mary saw them not. She sought a tomb. An empty tomb she found it when she came and, kneeling, wept alone there. Then her name. The Master spoke it. Clear and plain she heard. And how she ran to bring the other's word. Her wondrous joy has braved the ages through. She knew he was alive. She knew. She knew. And while yet the lilies bloom about the door where Jesus rose to live forevermore, and still the tomb is empty in our day, from which the mighty stone was rolled away, I know he lives. He lives today and now. I do not know the mystery nor the how, but in my heart of hearts he speaks, and so I know he lives today. I know. I know.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ.
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
This is Orville Iverson of the Voice of Prophecy with this word of encouragement. The Christ who stilled the tempest of the Sea of Galilee can still the tempest in our lives today. So let us keep looking up, ever going forward in faith.
Friends, remember that today we're introducing for the first time our Light of the World Bible course. Be sure and send for it, The Light of the World, The Story of Jesus. It's free. And now we say, have faith in God. The stone of doubt has now been rolled away. Have faith in God, for Christ is risen. The holy angels say, have faith in God. He is alive. He is alive today. Have faith, dear friend, in God. We hope this program has brought blessing to you. We invite you to hear us again next week. Another broadcast brought by the Voice of Prophecy. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.